Tonight we'll read about Krishna's personality from Nectar of Devotion. We can understand that if the source of everything is to be complete, therefore the source of everything must have personality. In this material world, we're accustomed to limited, faulty personalities. But the source of all personal qualities is full of unlimited personalism. That is Krishna. Krishna means the source of all energies, and Krishna means the all-attractive one. And what is it that attracts everyone to Krishna? His qualities, his activities, his name, form. It requires some understanding of Bhagavad Dharma, the science of the Supreme, to fully grasp the implications of the personality of Godhead. This is what conditioned souls have the most difficulty doing, understanding Krishna. It seems that it would be much easier if we didn't have to deal with Krishna's personality and qualities and activities. It seems religion would be much easier to understand. Just like one young lady at the university Tuesday night was putting forth a point. Why not just take all the religions, find out what's common in them all, and then deal with that? In other words, just strip down all the, you know, exotic stuff. In other words, cut away all anything personal and just, you know, realize there's one all-pervading energy, the same thing. So I told her, how would you like that we did that to you? We just took away all your individual characteristics, took away all your personal traits, and just made you bland, a generic entity with no distinguishing characteristics. How would you like that? Ooh, I would like it. So then why are we doing this to the supreme source of everything? What we are so attached to, our personality, why do we deny that in the supreme source of everything? How Krishna is a person and yet is also unlimited, that is the great mystery. Because as soon as we think of person, we think of limitation. As soon as we think of form, we think of limitation. As soon as we think of activities, we think of someone who needs to do something to fulfill a sense of incompleteness. If you think about all your activities in the material sense, that's what's going on. You strive to get things that you lack. Fill the hole in the heart, fill the hole in the pocket, fill the hole in your petrol tank. You're striving in so many ways. Fill some empty rooms in your house. Other living entities. So, you feel that there's a need, a lack, and therefore you endeavor. But for Krishna, it's not like that. That's why the Lord explains in Bhagavad Gita, Namam karma nilam bhanti, name karma palesriya. Krishna says, I've got nothing I need to achieve. I've got no reason to pursue the fruits of activity. Still I act. Now how is it that someone who is perfect and complete, self-sufficient, how can such a person have any need to act? So that is the mystery of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. The Lord acts even though he's already fulfilled. He does not act to achieve things that he's missing. Actually, the Lord acts just to give pleasure to his devotees. He doesn't need anything but to enliven the devotees with wonderful subjects to talk about. Krishna acts, he does things. How it is that Krishna comes to this world and still remains independent? You have experienced that anyone who comes to this world loses their independence. They're totally bound up in so many other things. Just like you can analyze your life and see how it's dependent on countless things. Everything in material existence is like that. You can't see without the sun or electric light. The sun can't exist without something else. Electricity can't exist without a power plant. Everything is always dependent on something. Krishna is the only entity that can exist in the material world completely independent. That is the nature of God. Now some people say, okay, there may well indeed be the supreme source of everything, but why should that supreme source come to this world? Well, why not? Krishna can do whatever he likes, and he doesn't lose his independence. He doesn't become affected by the material world. You see, any time you have a body made of the energy of the material world, then it must be affected by the material world. That's the nature of having a material body. It leaves you prone to be affected by the material world because it comes from the material world. But Krishna is never affected by the material world because he has no material body. It is the material body that has these affectations for the material world. Krishna, wherever he appears in this world, he has no material body. He never has a material body. He appears within this material world in his completely spiritual form, even though it's the material world. That is God. It's not that Krishna says, oh, I am purely spiritual, therefore I can't go to the material world. Actually, for Krishna, everything is spiritual, because everything is his energy. That's why he says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhiname Prakashastada, my separated material energy. He claims it is mine. For him, it's spiritual. But for you, that same energy acts in a material way. For Krishna, though, it's all spiritual. It's all his. So you have to kind of understand Krishna's statements in two ways. For him and for you. For you, the material world exists. For Krishna, the material world does not exist. It's all his energy, just acting in different ways. The more we begin to think about how this source of everything is personal, the more our spiritual life can properly develop. Unconsciously, we have so many impersonal conceptions, so much impersonalistic conditioning. This is what makes us kind of woozy-headed and sluggish in devotional service. We don't really cope with Krishna's personal existence. We don't really cope with all the ramifications of the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The personal characteristics, form, activities. Without focusing on this transcendental reality, we are always a bit weak and dizzy in Krishna consciousness. We can easily be knocked off our feet. Therefore, it's important for every devotee to always think, how it is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then you become so interested in Krishna's personality. You all know what it's like to have friends, whether of the romantic or non-romantic type. First thing you want to do is get to know the person's personality more. That's like one of the thrill of discovery. First you feel some infatuation, your head begins to spin a bit. Of course, the pure equivalent of that infatuation is there in the spiritual world in pure love of Krishna. Therefore, one verse in the Shastra, in describing pure love of Krishna, says, what is the use of being hit with arrows if the head does not spin? In other words, in contact with Krishna, the devotee becomes afflicted by the arrows of desire and the head spins. But on the mundane plane, there's some infatuation. What does the Bhagavatam explain? Lord Rishabhate in the fifth canto. Pum sapstriya mituni bhavanitam tiyonito hridayagamdamahu. The attachment between male and female is the basis of material existence. This bhava, this type of emotional existential state generated by the male and female interacting, that is the basis of material existence. And based on the deepening of the relationship between the male material coverings and the female material coverings, the hard knot in the heart forms. You know how to make a hard knot. You just tie a knot one on top of another and pull it tight after each tying of a knot. Pull the strings tight. That is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnudeva's description of how material life goes on. And once the hard knot is there in the heart, you can practice making a hard knot in the heart. Get two pieces of string and you tie them together and then again. This is what it's like, the hard knot in the heart. Once that hard knot is there in the heart, then what? Atavriya shekha sutata vittaya. You need a home, griha. Then, what about some land around the home? At least a big backyard that the kids would play. Or, even better, a farm. The state in the country. Atagriha Shaita Suttapta, then children, Suttapta. Relatives, Vitaya, of course, wealth. In order to please your family members, you need wealth. You need prestige. Then you go to family gatherings. You need to be able to show that you're an accomplished person in the material world. You're making progress. So, janasya moho yam aham maneti. In this way, you simply increase life's illusions that I am his body and everything in relation to the body is mine. So, pum sastriya mituni bhavanetam. Mituni bhava, this emotional bhava, this emotional condition caused by attraction between the male and female coverings. It's a personal thing. Often people like to say it. It's a personal thing. But Krishna is also personal. And the highest rewards come from trying to understand Krishna's personhood. Just like as you were beginning to explain, as soon as you meet, in the ordinary sense, a potential romantic partner or interesting person, what do you want to do? You want to explore the relationship. That means you want to interact with the qualities. You want to poke around a bit, the qualities, to see, is this to my liking? Can I go the distance with this? And in the beginning, people have a good time getting to know each other. It's interesting getting to know another person, isn't it? It definitely takes up your day, gives you something to do. And actually most people like to be considerate and understanding someone else for a while. Until the novelty wears off. And that's when the problems start. There's no more freshness to knowing that person's personality. Now it's all the same thing, day after day. Krishna, however, is no yoga. He's ever fresh. Everything about him never involves diminution. Never involves decrease. In the material world, we're looking for the personality that we unconsciously remember in Krishna. That's why we put such a burden on others. Be fresh. Be ever fresh for me. We're remembering the ever freshness of Krishna. To some degree, unconsciously, we're making reference to that. But because we don't remember fully, we seek to find that Navayogana in the material world. And that means you have to work very hard. And you'll never find that. It's not possible to find that in the material world. The ever fresh person. So just like it's a fact, we can take interest in someone's personality. Most of you have had that experience before of taking an interest in someone's personality. It seems so nice discovering each other on the telephone, discovering each other together. It seems so nice. That's because we are accustomed to discovering Krishna's personality, which is limitless. In the material world, we are on a hunt to get those things that actually, unconsciously, we can't remember. We got them with Krishna. Now we're looking in the wrong place for those things. One who's practicing bhakti yoga is eager to think about Krishna's personality. You ever done that? Become eager to think about someone's personality. How is it that Krishna brings his eternal pastimes to this material world and they're never affected by Maya? We're very interested in that. What is the personality of God? Should we just say, God is good, or God is great? Or God is compassionate, or God is angry? Is that all there is to it? That's not all there is to our personality. We're just such tiny things. We're not simply angry, We're not simply compassionate. We're not simply creating things, destroying things. We have many, many moods, rasas that we taste or we seek to taste. Krishna is the Supreme Person. That means his personality is superior both quantitatively and qualitatively. Generally, you say that Krishna shares his qualities with his partner, parts of humanities. But specifically, there are some qualities Krishna does not share. Generally, you say like that. In general audience, you may make a general statement. So let us read about Krishna's personality. Srila Rupa Goswami states that although Lord Krishna is the reservoir of unlimited pleasure and the greatest leader of all, he is still dependent upon his devotees in three ways. Now you're thinking, how can the Supreme Independent One be dependent on his devotees? But listen to how he's dependent on his devotees. Not for their support, not for their nourishment. According to the emotional status of the devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is appreciated in three ways: as the most perfect, as very perfect, and as perfect. This is a way of trying to get you to understand that on the spiritual level, everything is absolute. Yet, even on the platform of spiritual perfection, there's sweet, sweeter, and sweetest. Perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. It's materially not possible to understand with regular language. You think, well, perfect is perfect. Just like, say, 1 + 1 = 2. There's no more correctness possible. But in the spiritual world, it's like that. Even though everything is absolute, still they're more and more intimate realities. The most intimate realities are Krishna's Braj Leela, and his most perfect. And also, his personality manifests in three ways. That is the personality of Krishna. Bhagavati Krishna manifests in three ways. When he exhibits himself in fullness, he is appreciated by great learned scholars as most perfect. When he exhibits himself in lesser degrees, he is called very perfect. And when he exhibits still less, he is called perfect. This means that Krishna is appreciated for 3 degrees of perfection. These 3 degrees of perfection are especially exhibited as follows. When he is in Goloka Vrindavan, his transcendental qualities are exhibited as most perfect. And when he is in Dwarka, he exhibits his qualities as very perfect. And when he is in Mathura, he exhibits his qualities as perfect. A devotee tries to understand the Supreme Lord in these 3 different places. How it is that Krishna acts, what are his pastimes in these 3 different places? Mathura Dham, Dwarka Dham, Vrindavan Dham. The devotee tries to get the flavor of Krishna's activities and qualities in these 3 different places. Krishna's personality is analyzed as Dira Datta, Dira Lalita, Dira Prashanta, and Dilod Tattva. If one asks how a personality can be held in four quite opposing ways, the answer is that the Lord is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities and activities. Therefore, his different aspects can be analyzed according to the exhibition of his limitless variety of pastimes, and as such, there is no contradiction. Why is it that someone can be seen in four quite opposing ways? You know what that's like in the ordinary sense, in ordinary existence. If someone is seen in just two opposing ways, people talk about it. Well, I don't know about that person. You can't forget that person now. Mm-hmm. 1 minute, he or she seems to act this way. Next minute, seems to act that way. People don't like it. Once again, you see that tendency that the solution to all problems is to cut down on variety. People don't like to cope with so much variegated personal interaction. They get bewildered. Just be a certain way, will you? People don't like it. Someone's one way on Monday, another way on Tuesday, another way on Wednesday. But Krishna, being the unlimited source of everything, it's easy for Krishna to be understood in four different ways. Because Krishna is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities and activities. Since he's that unlimited reservoir, what's the problem? Like, what's the problem in Krishna acting in four opposing ways? All these four opposing ways are contained within him. Krishna contains all possibilities. When will we understand that about the science of the Supreme Bhagavad Dharma? Krishna contains all possibilities. But because people do not know Krishna, therefore they think, well, religions cause so many problems in this world. If we just strip religions of all their particulars, then maybe there could be peace in this world. Everyone is so eager to strip Krishna of his particulars. How would you like someone to do that to you? Just take away from you all your distinguishing personal characteristics. You can handle it. Suppose we said, tomorrow all the ladies will wear the same color sari. They'll have the same bead bag, the same color sari. They'll all eat the same way, talk the same way. Then there'll be peace. There'll be peace in the ashram when we take away all the variety. Hamsi laughed like Sandrananda. It'll all be just one merge. And that's the peace form. This is what so many people think. It's like students were telling us on Tuesday. You see, it makes sense. Just take all religions, put them in a called hopper. Put them in a hopper and just melt them all down. And come out with just one bland, homogenous thing. And then there'll be peace. No, actually, peace comes in relishing the variegatedness of Krishna. That's the only way it's peace. But just catch the mind-body contamination in our mind, getting us to think that there'll be peace when we get rid of all variety. If you can look at the way you live your own life, you like your varieties, your idiosyncrasies. But why is it that we'll sit by idly and let someone try to strip Krishna of his variegatedness. When you preach to others, you have to be aware of that. Just like you may have, those who were there Tuesday night, you may have noticed. Not even on purpose. As soon as you start talking, Krishna, the supreme source, Krishna, the source of everything, then you just wait, there's going to be a reaction. And the reaction is always, specifically Krishna. Don't be like it. Just look at your watch. Why? I appreciate spirituality, but why Krishna? Why can't we just be content knowing that there's a spiritual energy, you know? People actually, some people, not all, some people get rattled. This is too specific, it's just, it's just too personal. It can't be the real truth because it's specific. So there will be some of that. And then there will also be those who are attracted. Because by hearing Krishna, their dormant memories with Krishna return partially. So it'll always be like that. Otherwise, you just sit there and say, God or the whatever, the one who's within and without, whatever you want to call it, everyone nods their head. But no one makes any spiritual advancement. They're nodding. Then he starts to speculate. Yeah, I think that, the undefined one is there in us all, and whatever we do, and someone else will start to say, It's like, you just can't define it, as soon as you start talking about it, it just becomes unknown, But as soon as you start to talk about Krishna, Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. Then there's always going to be some people who's going to beg it. I was following you to a certain point, but then this Krishna, this sounds like religion. In other words, it's not spirituality, it's religion, because you brought up Krishna. Spirituality, well, that's, generic, it's undefinable, it's just, that's spirituality. But you say Krishna, they were religion. So I would always say, I talked to you about religion. I don't know anything about religion. Religion's boring. Well, you must be a cool guy. Religion's boring. Come here, a pile of religious beliefs on top of your head. I came to give you the experience of the supreme source of everything, Krishna. And you'll see some people flinch. But others, so you have to expect that. You have to learn how to deal with both. The basis of our lingering in the material world is that we are averse to Krishna's personality. In that, why should Krishna have a personality? All attention should be on my personality. Why do we have to learn about Krishna's personality? And just listen to this Krishna. If this is true, he's really got it made. He's got four opposing ways of acting. He's got a limitless variety of pastimes. Alright, we'll read about the first one tonight. Dhirodatta. A Dhiravata is a person who is naturally very grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble, highly qualified, chivalrous, and physically attractive. In this connection, the following statement given by Indra, the King of Heaven, is very soothing. My dear Lord, I admit that I have committed great offenses unto you, but I cannot express my feelings of regret, being bewildered at seeing your extraordinary chivalrous spirit, your endeavor to protect your devotees, your determination, your steadiness in lifting the great hill of Govardhan, your beautiful bodily features, and your astonishing characteristic of being pleased simply by accepting the prayers of your devotees and offenders. The above statement by the King of Heaven is an exact corroboration of Krishna's being Dhiravata. Many learned scholars have agreed to also accept Lord Ramchandra as Dhiravata, but all of Lord Ramchandra's qualities are also included in the character of Lord Krishna. You know what happened when Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill with his little finger? Is that left hand? While he was holding the hill, he started to glance over the beautiful forms of the gopis. And looking at their beautiful figures, his hand began to shake, and the hill began to shake. So the cowherd men, they were like, what's going on? and Balaram, seeing the cowherd men getting a little, anxious, Balaram was smiling to himself, like, they don't know it's Krishna. Why are they in anxiety? Just because the hill is shaking. My brother Krishna, he's not ordinary. What's the problem? So Balaram was smiling to himself. And Krishna saw Balaram smiling. But what did Krishna think? Krishna began to blush because he thought Balaram was smiling because he saw me looking at the gopis. You know, my hand was shaking. So, of course, everyone knows about Lord Indra, how he tried to interfere in the Lord's Vrindavan pastimes. He was angry, thinking Krishna wanted his share of the sacrifice, Indra's share. And you all know how, after the Govardhan hill was put back in its place, Indra came to offer his prayers to the Lord, asking for forgiveness. All right, we'll stop there for tonight. Any questions? Yes.
Is it okay to encourage people that we meet on the street to chant the name of their God, like if they're Christian, like heavy Christian, is it okay to encourage them to chant the name of God?
You have that much time? But if you stop someone, they say, oh, I'm a Christian, I can't talk to you. Then what do you say?
No, usually it's when they have a they haven't got there with their Christian.
Yeah.
So it's maybe one in the exchange.
How many minutes later?
Just like 2 minutes.
Alright. Mm-hmm. Then they say, oh, I'm a Christian.
Yeah. And I say, that's great, Christians are so easy, but.
Yeah. Praise the Lord! Yeah. Let's be positive. Fine? So then how do you get to the point of saying they should
asking them how they what they do with their religion. Saying about how by experiencing God is by saying his name.
Yeah, I briefly.
Tell them the books will help them be better Christians.
Mm-hmm. I've heard in one of our Prabhupada's prayers in the beginning, he says, the one who understands the prayer by the fire of investigation of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean exactly? What's the difference between that and that from what we mean?
I explained in searching for Vedic India the Vedic mantra Anur Aniyan Mahato Mahiyana. You remember that? The Supreme Absolute Truth is small and the smallest and greater than the greatest. You are a sample of the Supreme. Just like a drop of ocean water is a sample of the whole ocean. If you properly understand yourself, you can understand something of God. You're a miniature universe, for example. The spirit soul is within the body of matter. Similarly, the supreme soul is within the universe, the universal body of matter. And furthermore, you have qualities. So, you should be able to understand that the Supreme Person also has qualities. If you actually understand yourself, you can know something of God. But, because they don't understand themselves. Just like if you actually understand a drop of ocean water, the saltiness of it, you'll be able to understand something of the whole ocean. So it's difficult. It's a statement from the Upanishads. Anur Aniyan Mahato Mahiyana. Understand that the Supreme Absolute Truth is not simply the biggest, but also the smallest. Why do you always go to one side? God is great. Why not? God is small. Reminds me of prayer I used to say as kids before. Taking our bottle of foodstuffs. God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for our food. By His hand we all are fed. Give us, Lord, the daily bread. Yeah. God is great, but also God is small. Small than the smallest, greater than the greatest. In church. Who made the mountains? Who made the seas? Somebody bigger than you or me. I always used to think about it. Why bigger? Why not smaller? And that is actually the nature of the absolute truth. Greater than the greatest, smaller than the smallest. Imagine the church song, who made the mountains, who made the seas? Somebody smaller than you or me. The people, God is great. God is small. Small and small. That is greatness. If you want to say the living entity is God, then you say the living entity is a sample God, a small God. So more and more we're seeing that people are crying out for this knowledge. More and more as I read Srila Prabhupada's books, I just see him as the greatest philosopher of current age. His purports teach everything. They teach people how to be human beings, how to have human civilization, how to understand what is God, both in the elementary sense and then in the most intimate sense. It's all going on there at one time. If you know anything about writing, if you ever had to write something, you know how inconceivable it is to do such a thing. To write for all levels of people at the same time. When you're ever preaching to a room full of people and they're all different, then you can see how difficult it is to, you know, deal with everybody at once. At one, you know, in one corner someone's challenging you, it's all one, and everybody's got their own version of the truth. In another corner of the room someone,
oh, I'm really yearning for God. Please teach me.
And now there was someone else, but then, we gotta be practical, we gotta make money, this is the real world, it's all going on. The problem with purports, they can cope with all that at the same time. It's amazing. But just by your trying to preach Krishna consciousness, you'll see what a typical job that is. Generally, when you preach, you write it, everyone's at the same level. But to cope with all different kinds of people, all at the same time, in the same room, was difficult. But Prabhupada's purports, they can do that. So those of you who want to deepen your relationship with these books and get Lord Chaitanya's special blessings, you always seek the ways how to introduce these books to people and get them to study them. First, get them to get the books. Then the service hasn't ended there. You have to hold their hand and walk them through the book. That's more service, extra credit. After someone gets a Gita, to work with them through it, to get them through the initial chapters. I notice so many of them say the same thing. It's like Hitesh was saying. Once you get to the middle of the Gita, you suddenly realize you haven't really understood what was said before. And then just things start to happen. You just get caught up in it. And by the time you get to the end, you're sailing. Some people I've heard, they say like that. The introduction, the first couple of chapters, they were struggling a bit. That's when they really need association. Most people need that. They have to hold their hand as they take off into the world of the Gita. But then, I've seen it every time. By the time you get to the middle, something takes over them. Their intelligence has become purified and they really start flying. So much so that when they get to the end, they're lamenting, oh no, it's the end. So this is the service we want to perform for this succession. Distributing transcendental knowledge and helping people to, motivating people to dive into that nectar. So if you can sacrifice your personal inconvenience for helping people that way, then Lord Chaitanya will bless you and it will be easier for you to be Krishna conscious. It's like, as around midday today I realized, for me it was very cold outside, even though I wasn't outside, I could feel inside the house, especially just coming from India, that I had up the temperature. It was 5 degrees And it's supposed to be 2 degrees tomorrow maximum, 2 degrees maximum. And then it goes up again to 10. So I was thinking of the Sankirtan devotees out in the 5 degree weather today and the 2 degree weather tomorrow. Don't think Krishna is not noticing. You're becoming dear to Krishna by endeavoring. I just got a letter from one devotee in Christchurch. He just finished his university degree in biology or something like that. And he just started going out on Sankirtan distributing Srila Prabhupada's books to people. And he was saying, I was hating every second. But some other, he just kept pushing, and all of a sudden I started to realize the more I do of this, the more I like it. So now, whereas just a few months ago he hated every minute of the service, now he says my anxiety is I can't do enough of it. My health is not as good as I want, so I can do this service all the time. By myself. You know how that feeling is? I know how it feels to be on the streets. Low temperatures, high temperatures, whatever. But I also know that Krishna will nourish you with the special mercy you need to go on. You'll get more than you bargained for. Krishna will always defeat you. You'll get more. I know some of you, when you go out on Sankirtan, oh, I gotta do this for my dinner. There's a time to go back. But if you really try to master the service, you'll never forget it all your life. You'll become a very strong devotee. Once you see how Krishna will use you, inspire yourself, you never forget those experiences. So if you want to make quick progress from the theoretical understanding of Krishna consciousness to actually realizing it, then you try to introduce these books to people. You can always get an attitude about anything. Just like sometimes I catch myself. How many times am I going to say this to someone who started chanting Hare Krishna? I catch myself like, okay, just pick a number that you can do every week and then gradually increase by adding one or two rounds every week. How many do you think you could add a week? One? Someone was like, how many times have I said this? How many times have I said to persons, where are you at, Lina? Just keep going. Yes. The word for you, just keep going. From the material point of view, we should be tired of that. I've been doing this for 32 years. 32 years, yeah. Is there anything more esoteric? No, I'm so thankful to Krishna. I can do this service. And Krishna gives you more and more expertise as the years go by. You have to start somewhere. So one big impediment to Sankirtan is that the service looks restrictive, it looks repetitive. But that's just a material appearance. You have to beg Krishna, beg Sri Sri Gaurantai to see past that false material perception. And what's wrong with sacrificing your physical energies for teaching people about Krishna? Your physical energy is going to be sacrificed anyway. Time will take everything away from you. It's a good experience to realize, well, it's a little bit of physical discomfort. Under God and trying to give people the greatest love, the greatest power. What's a little bit of physical discomfort? Are we really so squeamish and so fragile that we can't undergo a little bit of austerity to help others? A little bit of austerity to help ourselves? So you guys get to wear warm clothes in the cold. There are nice hanging Pandas. 10 below 0 and you're wearing your plastic shoes, standing on the pavement all day. Your feet felt like blocks of ice. That's the way it is, you know. You needed a coat, you just went to the, they had a room in the temple where, you know, people just donated all kinds of old clothes. You never thought about buying a coat. You just rummage through the old clothes room and come out and, you know, got a few rich snip, but anyway, but three sizes too big. Anyway. Yes, Radha Krishna's. You never thought twice about it. That was the way it was, you know. Now you guys get warm clothes, you know, the best warm clothes, Gore-Tex, you know. We never did like that. When did I buy my first coat? I think when I went to Europe in 78, so after 5 years. Of course, 3 of those years were in Los Angeles, and then the year went to coat. So I'd like that all of you have that experience of crashing through this barrier, the mundane appearance of Sankirtan. When you look at it materially, it looks pretty bleak, doesn't it? But we're not trying to stop people with these books. It's cold, people are grouchy and ask, not interested in what you have. When you look at it materially, it looks really weird. Doesn't it, Sarah? Yeah, doesn't it? When you think about it from a material point of view, it's like, you know, what am I doing this for? But if you try, then you feel the spiritual energy acting. And you don't forget that. Some special sweet taste in spite of that awful material appearance. Right? You know, there's a sweet taste to it. And of course, Krishna's blessing those who go out by allowing you to meet so many nice people and later come here. This is where all the best persons are coming from. Some of them are met somewhere on the street. And as, I mean, if it's happening like this in the winter, as it warms up, the numbers will increase. I remember last summer here, seeing a steady stream of persons come from having met devotees Purdue and the national coordinator. He's saying, everyone is watching what's going on here. How to make book distribution in a way that brings the people forward. Everyone's watching. Because for so long, people, they're always at foot. That Sankirtan means you drop the books off. That's fine. Drop books off for people, but it can, the service can be increased. Why do we have to do things the same way year after year after year? Let's take it a step further. For so long, people, Sankirtan means drop the book off, or drop some paraphernalia off. That's it. Why can't we increase our service? Reaching out to the people and motivating them to come forward and visit us and understand their way. So we should always take our Sankirtan service very seriously. Perhaps we need more discussion of how to do it properly. We have experienced Sankirtan ladies who can help the others. We have experienced Sankirtan men who can help the men. We try our best. Krishna is watching. Krishna will help. So I was telling this devotee in Christchurch, just after a couple of months, he went from hating it at every moment to just lamenting, I can't, I don't have the strength to do this all the time. I said, well, you know, for me, it took 2 years. Every day, going out and saying about 2 years. Most of the time, 7 days a week. As I told you, when Sundays came around, the Sankirtan leader would say, all right, who's in Maya? Who wants to come back for the Sunday feast? So, you know, we didn't want to be in Maya, so oh, I'm not coming back. Hello, everyone. I was like, for me, 2 years. 7 days a week. Struggle. And it all changed in one moment. One moment, it just all changed. From one moment to the next. I still remember I was standing in a parking lot of a mall, and all of a sudden, whoever I started to approach, they were taking books. And the biggest books I had to reach, they had these big hardcover Krishna books. You know, like three times as big as the Krishna, the hardcover Krishna books you just did. And just standing there from one moment to the next, everyone started taking the book. And I was just stunned. No, there's no way I can think I'm the doer after 2 years of failure every day. No way that I would think this is me. I remember the other devotee was there with me. What's going on? What's happening? You've done this before. Believe this. What you got some kind of new line or something? New technique? New mantra? I haven't done it for 2 years. Come on, tell me, what are you doing? I don't know what's happening. So that's the kind of spiritual experience of the Supreme Personality God in the Sankirtan will give you, and you'll never forget that. Just a question, how much you have in you to try? I'm willing to be a little austere for Lord Chaitanya. will bring such great dividends, such great returns.
All right.
Until tomorrow night, I want to take time also. Hare Krishna, bless you. Thank you very much.
Shri Rade Ki Jai.